Hey, hey, hey.
Yo!
Welcome. I feel like we haven't done this in like such a long time, but it's only been a week.
It's been months.
Yeah.
It feels like months.
I know. Yes. I don't know. This week has definitely gone by quite slow.
Yeah, I think it's just the torture of our day-to-day lives.
Yeah, that might be it. You know, the seasonal depression really just, elongates the days.
That doesn't exist in Florida, you dummy.
I don't know.
It's the I hate being in college depression.
Wow. Who needs a therapist when you got Chris?
Well, God, every day you snap me, you look like you're going to commit suicide. I feel like driving to Orlando to help you.
No. Well, I mean, you know, just every minor inconvenience.
Well, you got that Sentra with the door sills that light up. So everything's good, man.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it's got the cool little Sentra that lights up. You know, I'm gonna play some hockey tonight. I played some hockey yesterday. We're feeling good.
Welcome, Jonathan.
Howdy. How was your exam, buddy?
Oh, it was something, that's for sure.
what class was it in?
Yeah, it was computer-oriented stats.
Ooh, more math.
Yeah, dude. Every class.
Here, Dalton, I have a quick question for you.
Uh-huh.
Why do you hate yourself?
You know, growing up, I thought, you know, my life's too good, so I tried to ruin it any way I could. And I guess this is how I do it.
Interesting.
Check this out, though. He says, why do you hate yourself? Yet he could have gone to a broadcast college for 10 months and got the career he wanted, but he just chooses to go to university and spend $200,000 for the same thing. So who really, actually, you probably hate your parents, to be more accurate.
Yeah, they're definitely a bit frustrated with me, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, you know, that's why your dad went to school, though, so that he could pay for you to go to school.
Right. I'm sure he's going to love hearing that.
I'm going to get an angry text message later tonight.
Be like, stop exposing my son. Stop it. though, on the subject of school and kind of bringing it back into hockey, I just wrote a paper for my math class on advanced analytics.
Oh, look at you go.
Yeah,
that hokey bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. That black magic I participate in.
So I'll say something really quick about advanced analytics, and then I'll let you guys get onto other stuff because I know we have a lot to cover today.
Oh, man, yes, I can't wait for the first disconnect.
All right. I love the value of advanced stats, and I do look at them, but I also feel like people invent new things. Like all of a sudden there's war, and then there's Gwar, and then there's Corsi, and then there's Corsi, and then there's Fenwick and Shenwick, and God knows what else. So they'll just twist the stats around to make any argument they want. And that's the problem that I have with advanced stats. I really want them to stabilize and have widely accepted metrics so that we can really measure hockey. But hockey is a very hard sport to measure.
Yeah. And in my paper, like I said, and I have a whole book on it. It's called Stat Shot. It's really good. It goes over a lot of a broad spectrum of analytics and stuff like that. But even in the book, it says like with all sports, there are there's a huge element of luck, and like it even kind of breaks down like there's like a breakdown of skill and luck that you need to play the sport. So like basketball has like a really high skill but low luck. Right. So like it's a lot less chaotic. Basketball is a lot more controlled, whereas hockey is high skill, high luck and it basically compares the hockey puck to just chaos incarnate. Like as soon as the puck leaves the stick, it is unbelievable out of control. So you have to like really take advanced analytics.
Especially when you pass the puck, for real.
It was wobbling all over the place. but yeah, you're right. So I mean, yeah, that was interesting. Welcome everyone to episode 9 of South of the Blue Line. We are already off track.
Bet you didn't take long.
Sorry, I apologize.
No, it's all right.
I mean, we started with school, so it's kind of a natural progression.
Yeah, for real.
So I want to say one more thing. I'm sorry, but I got to say one more thing before we move on. Until they start accurately measuring emotion in hockey, I don't think they'll ever have a proper measurement. And when I'm talking emotion, I'm talking like anger, fear, passion, you know, that kind of stuff. Confidence. Yeah. Until they can accurately measure that stuff, I don't feel like we'll ever really be able to measure hockey properly, because it's so predicated on those feelings.
So you're a big fan of the grit chart.
What's his grit for 60 though?
Ooh, grit I feel for like 60. It has something to do with it. You know, like a guy, like we could talk about Hendrix. I mean, terrible hockey player, but he has impact.
Yeah. Grit chart. So, hello. Welcome, everyone, again. South of Blue Line, episode 9. Boys, I'd like to congratulate us. We've officially made 3 cents.
What?
3 whole pennies. So we each get a penny.
Dude.
Yeah!
They don't even exist in Canada anymore.
That's right. That is right. They don't even make pennies. There was a full week of hockey behind us, full week of hockey ahead of us. So let's just jump right into it. Started off last week, we finished the podcast about in the middle of the first period, with the New Jersey Devils Winnipeg Jets game. I actually watched the ending of this game, as I'm sure Chris did, and Mark Scheifele looked incredible. Also, Keith Kincaid looked quite good, because the Jets should have won that game like 4 times in overtime.
Yeah. Who would have thought that would be the starter of that team, eh?
Yeah, Kincaid for real.
Yeah.
Chris, what did you see in the game?
Well, Schneider's balls this year, right? Well,
yeah,
he was pretty bad. And last year, too. Just nothing from him.
He also has real bad injury history.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, obviously more of the Jets' struggles defensively were on display in that game, uncharacteristically losing leads late in games. And I have a little bit more to talk about as we go along into the week with the Jets playing. But, yeah, that's what I saw.
Yeah. And I believe you were upset, actually, that it even went to overtime. You shot me a text and said that it shouldn't have even been there.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Totally.
So then also later that night, I believe, yeah, later that night, the Oilers play the Golden Knights in a matchup. And was this one in Vegas? Yes.
It was, yeah.
Yes, it was in Vegas. No, it wasn't. It was in Edmonton.
Was it?
I have it written down, yeah, in Edmonton. And Oilers win a close contested Hitchcockian style 2-1 victory with a McDavid highlight reel goal.
Mm-hmm. As always, you know, how it is.
Oh, my goodness. Did you see? I mean, I'm sure you've seen it. It's been everywhere. Where he picks it up going backwards, beats McNabb, and then fakes Fleury out of his jaw.
Oh, just, like, holds it behind him for so long and then picks it.
Just, and that's, like, that one move. Like, you can see, like, how far ahead his mind is.
Yeah.
Like, he's anticipating what the goalie is anticipating him to do. Right, he's coming
It's crazy how some people can make it look so easy, right? All of a sudden, they just do something, and they give themselves the entire net to shoot at, just because they're just so patient or so skilled.
Yeah, it was an unreal goal, real tight game, and I believe Koskinen was in net for this one.
Yep, and Spooner got his first as an Oiler, I'm pretty sure.
And Oiler Nation has dubbed him Cuddles.
Cuddles.
Yes. So then the Jets then go and play in a back-to-back. They played New Jersey. Then the next night they go and play the Rangers, and they beat them 4-3 in a shootout. Was this this was a game, I believe, weren't the Jets down 3-1 or up 3-1, and they end up letting the Rangers back into it, Chris? I don't remember.
No, they were down 3-0. They end up coming back.
So they end up coming back, yeah. And Hellebuck was in for this one, I believe.
I cannot remember. I don't think so. It was Brossoit.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have to look it up because I know they split.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Shootout was fun to watch. Line A basically did Zibanejad did his patented backhand forehand, and then just snipes it top corner, and then Line A was like, "All right, you want to see it?" And then he pings it off the pipe, makes it just that much prettier. I mean, it was a nice game to watch them kind of come back into it. But I'm pretty sure they went down early, Chris, right?
They did.
What's going on? Because they're like, it's funny because they'll have like moments where they're dominant, and then there'll be moments where they basically have the first period against the Rangers that they did.
Well, let's wait until we go a little bit further into the week, because I do have a theory, which I will share with you. And Connor Hellebuck did play in that game.
He did. Okay. Yeah. Then moving on, the Oilers go and take on the Dallas Stars in Dallas on Monday, and about an hour before the game started, my heart broke. Dalton's heart broke. Oilers, yeah, it was that came out that Connor McDavid would miss the game with a flu, and then we watched the Oilers, probably the worst slash the most boring game of hockey I have watched in a long time.
And, you know, we were talking earlier about Michael's dad wasting money. Well, he had tickets to this game, so.
My dad was at this game?
Yep.
Oh, how did you know that? I didn't.
Through my dad.
Through Snapchat?
No, through my dad.
Oh, I thought you were like, is your dad Snapchatting my dad? Are you Snapchatting my dad?
Pretty much exclusively, yeah.
How would that even look?
I don't know, man.
Don't want to think about it.
Yeah. move on.
Woof. And the thing is, I was kind of frustrated because considering we didn't have McDavid, it still looked like we were playing decent. However, I was quite upset. We've played Anton Khudobin twice, and we've only scored one goal on him.
Jeez. He's like, I don't know how I feel about Khudobin. I feel like he's a trash goalie, and then he plays really well sometimes. It's weird.
Yeah, but you can't measure him against the Oilers.
Yeah. But Draisaitl, I thought, played a big game that game. He was pretty huge out there.
I thought Nuge looked pretty good as well.
Yeah, yeah. They really stepped up without McDavid, but, I mean, it's really hard to replace McDavid, right? So.
Yeah, and you can kind of tell that once McDavid's kind of taken out, and it really sucks to watch, but as soon as McDavid's taken out, The other team has more confidence because they're like, oh, they don't have McDavid. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
And you can kind of almost see it just the way the defenders sort of play a little bit more aggressive against the Oilers forwards. Well,
yeah, when your best winger goes from either Draisaitl or McDavid to Chiasson, I think would probably be the best Oilers winger. Maybe. Maybe Kara. I don't know.
But I don't know why you're shitting on the answer, Alex Chiasson.
Because I got so much hate in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nope. First disconnect.
Hey, you know what? It's been over 13 minutes, so props. I think that's a record.
You guys were recording for a full minute before I got here?
Yeah, man.
Man, I'm slow.
Yeah, bro, come on.
That's what I get. I blame the cat.
The cat. Oh, yeah, you're a cat guy. Everyone, we need to shun Dalton on Twitter, even though he never looks at Twitter. Dalton is a cat guy.
I also have a dog.
All right, fine.
I'm like an equal opportunity employer.
Okay, look at that. All right, never mind. We won't give you shit for having a cat.
But, you know, if you want to talk to me on Twitter, go right ahead. I won't respond.
Fair enough. I mean, pretty crap game in Dallas.
Yeah, it was garbage. But that's
anything
okay.
Anything else you want to say on it, Dalton?
I mean, I don't know, man. Draisaitl had the most minutes out of anybody that night.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Chris. You predicted the score on this one exactly. 4-1. So pat on the back, Chris. Then on the next day, Tuesday, the Jets wrap up their New York area road trip with a stop to in the Islanders with a 3-1 win.
Yes.
Chris, is this the game you want to talk about, or is there one more, Chris?
Are you no, this is the one.
All right, buddy.
This is the one. So, I mean, first of all, I want to say that Hellebuck has been playing better recently. So I feel like that's part of the reason. So by recently, I mean the last two games. So I'm hoping that this signals a turnaround. But the bigger picture, the bigger story is that it took us dressing three AHL players on defense to start playing defense. And I'm serious, though. Like, I mean, I think we've been fairly weak all year defensively. And, you know, obviously part of that is goaltending. But I want to actually not pin it on the defense, but I want to pin it on the forwards. We had a lot of forwards flying the zone, you know, having the puck within 1 or 2 feet from the blue line and turning it over. And I think that's been a big cause of a lot of our problems. But once we had to dress, we dressed career minor leaguer Schelling. We dressed Sammy Niku. And we dressed Nelson Noje, who actually looked pretty good. I was pretty impressed.
So I know one of those three people. Are you sure they're not just randomly an EA NHL generated names?
I made those names up.
It would not surprise me.
You could have, and I would have no clue.
Yeah, for real. All right.
Seriously, we were without two of our three best defensemen, Bufflin and Morrissey. So. Right. I just feel like the forwards really came back and they collapsed. They helped out. They were available for passes. They worked hard along the wall to get the puck out of the zone, and it made all the difference in the world.
And do you think that's because they knew that their back end was a little bit more green, so they felt like they had to?
100%.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you even see that when they put in like a rookie goaltender or backup goaltender sometimes too, right? Team really starts to collapse in front of them.
Yeah,
because they have no faith in them, right? So they try and play a lot better defensively.
Well, the team also wants their teammates to succeed, right? Even if they've only been teammates for one game. As soon as you're in the jersey, they want you to play well, sort of thing. So 100%. Yeah, I agree. Moving on, the Oilers show up in St. Louis and play a horrible first period, go down 2-0, slowly battle back, a cleft bomb in the final minute, tied it up, and then two of the dirtiest shootout goals I've ever seen. First by Nuge.
Yeah. And oh, my God.
I didn't know where that. I didn't know where that came from.
Like, oh, my God.
I'm so used to Nuge just doing his quick little low blocker snapshot or whatever that works pretty well. But, like, I don't know if you've seen it, Chris, but Nuge comes all the way down on him. Nuge is a left-handed shot. And he just, like, cuts to the left and just waits. Jake Allen is, like, swimming. And then he, like, roofs it from, like, almost below the goal line without breaking momentum. Yeah. It was unreal. I was like, Nuge. Nuge is evolving.
Yeah. And this is after, in overtime on the power play there, Nuge made a beautiful move to the front of the net and then put it off the crossbar.
Oh, my goodness. I'm pretty sure Joe Pavelski did that against the Oilers in the 2016 playoffs, that same goal line backhand move. I was, like, seriously, all I can see is Nuge just, like, you know, in Pokemon when he starts evolving, it's like, dun, 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 dun. And it's like, your Nuge has evolved. I was like, oh, my goodness. And then Connor McDavid just, like, I don't even, like, when I first saw it, I was like, okay. And then I saw it again. I was like, oh, no. Connor.
He's just so good.
Just like he pulled it back like he was gonna do like almost like the Datsuk chip shot or whatever, and then just like with like a flick of his wrist with his like both his arms almost behind his body, he just shelved it.
Yeah, it was pretty similar actually to the goal he scored on Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. But with this one, like, it was so much slower.
Mm-hmm.
Like he literally just did a gallop. Was like, you're not stopping, and scored. And so Chris's prediction where when you see the Blues on the schedule, it's a free space, came true in this sense.
But just barely. The Blues look a lot better that game than I thought they were going to. Like, that did not look like a last or second last place hockey team to me.
Well, shout out to the Oilers' curse being broken that Patrick Maroon or Dave Perron did not score on the Oilers.
Oh, man, Patrick Maroon should have a couple times.
Well, so did Dave Perron, to be honest.
Perron's a piece of shit.
I don't know. I like Perron. I thought he was a good Oilers, and I liked him a lot. A good Oiler, and I thought he was good on Vegas last year, too.
You were a piece of shit for liking him.
I mean, right. I like him because the Oilers got a lot in the trade for him, so that's about it.
And then, all right, Chris. So then following your
free space prediction. The Jets hop on over to St. Louis two nights later, and they get shut out 1-0.
Allen was so good.
Yeah. I watched the highlights, and it seemed like there was the one goal highlight, and then the rest of the highlight pack were just like, great save by Allen.
Just over and over and over again. Yeah. It was insane.
My hot take is that maybe the Blues might not make the playoffs this year, but they are going to be battling till like the last couple games of the season to make it. I feel like they're going to start coming back. Their problems all year have been mainly goaltending. That team, even though the Jets beat them 3-1 in the season series, which is strangely over already, each game, the Blues hung around in all the games. Well, I mean, the 8-4 game, maybe not so much, but the rest of them. I think it's, they've got some good players. I think that they'll be there.
Yeah, and I mean, the Blues are also one of those teams that seems like they live or die by goaltending. Like, obviously, they haven't played very well, but I feel like that's a little bit of confidence. Because if you look at their roster, like, I mean, okay, they got rid of O'Reilly, but they still have, you know, Tarasenko. They brought in Patrick Maroon for dirt cheap. David Perron came back. He's pretty good.
Philip O'Reilly, what are you talking about?
What?
Ryan O'Reilly?
Oh, Ryan O'Reilly plays for the Blues now, doesn't he?
Yeah.
What am I talking about? I thought they traded.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure.
Sorry. Even more. They have Ryan O'Reilly on the team. I mean, and then their defense, Colton Parayko is a stud.
So good.
Okay, so here's a question for you guys. If you could pluck one player off the Blues roster, who would it be?
Probably.
What?
Either Colton Parayko or Tarasenko.
One.
All right, I'm taking Parayko.
Why would you pick Tarasenko?
Because, my God, I want a winger in Edmonton that can score.
What are you, Peter Chiarelli?
Yeah, pretty much, dude.
You guys need a defenseman.
Well, yeah. I'm like the exact opposite, Chiarelli, because I would rather pick the forward over the D.
I'm taking Parayko.
Yeah.
It's close. Tarasenko, he's so good. It's like all of a sudden the Oilers have a legitimate second line. Like, you put Nuge and Tarasenko together, you got two lines that are almost unstoppable.
Yeah, okay. But guess what? Now you can fire Chris Russell into the sun, and now you have a second D pairing. Now you have a second D pairing of Darnell Nurse and Colton Parayko.
I choose to believe that Talbot will have a Vezina-caliber season and therefore pick the forward.
We talk about this every week. We talk about firing Russell into the sun.
Yeah. I feel like instead of doing, like, a shot for firing Russell into the sun, we got to change it up. And whenever we talk about firing Russell into the sun, because it's really only once, right? Once per podcast, you got a shotgun of beer.
Yo, the thing is, though, a lot of people hate on Russell. I don't hate on Russell that much. I actually kind of like
Dalton.
Him. Not going to lie.
Killing me.
Not going to lie.
Dalton. Gosh.
A bona fide second pairing defenseman? Nah, fam. He's not there. But is he the best the Oilers have available to put there? Probably, yeah.
Maybe we should fire Dalton into the sun.
Ooh. Do it, fam. I don't have to do any more finals if you do that.
So here's what I'd say. I would have said, like, last year, I would have said I would have taken Shattenkirk. But this year, I'd say I'd take O'Reilly. The guy can do everything. And his face-off percentage is insane.
Yeah. The Oilers don't need another center, though.
That's the thing. But you always, you can never have too many centers. Just play them on the wing.
Oh, okay. All right, Mac T.
Yeah, I know.
No, right? He's from St. Albert. Why wouldn't you take Parayko? It's a no-brainer.
Oh, dude, believe me, I am tempted every single time.
I actually fell in love with Parayko watching him play at the World Cup on the Team North America.
Yo, that's fair. But, like, okay, are we taking into account, like, contract as well?
Parayko's got a hell of a contract.
Well, that's the thing. Tarasenko's getting paid more. So if we're taking into account a contract as well, I might flip to Parayko.
You guys don't need Tarasenko. You need defense.
But also, like, that's like saying the Oilers don't need Taylor Hall.
We don't. We have Larson, huh?
Yeah, you're right. You got me there.
I take Parayko. And Dalton, you're saying Tarasenko. I disagree. And Chris, you're taking O'Reilly?
Yeah, I'd take O'Reilly, for sure.
Bro, I want to win every game, like, 9-6, beat Calgary or something like that.
It doesn't work in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, yeah, then you got to win, like, 3-2 and shit like that. But
that's why we have Hitchcock.
Exactly. He'll teach Tarasenko how to play defense again.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And then last game of the week was last night, and whoo boy, did we end the hockey week on a high note.
Oh boy.
We obliterated the Wild 7-2.
Yeah.
Connor McDavid, 4-point night. Draisaitl, 2 goals. Jujhar Khaira, 2 assists.
Yeah, he was huge. Him and Nuge together? My God.
That line, actually. Puljujarvi, Khaira, and Nuge. Looking good.
Yeah, Puljujarvi made a couple rookie mistakes, but nothing huge that game. Wasn't too bad.
Zykov looked good. Zykov.
Yeah. Talbot was good.
Yes, that second period, I was clenched a little bit.
Did somebody punch Koivu in his stupid face?
Koivu was not in the game because Mark Giordano decided to try and TKO him.
Yes.
So Mr. Bean.
He's injured. He's
broken. Yeah, and I actually have that written down, so we will get to that. So, I mean, Talbot looks solid. All the lines were rolling. Lucic, Cassian with a big goal.
Oh, yeah.
Lucic came so close. He hit the post. Oh, my goodness. And it was funny because I had just listened to the Oilers Nation podcast. Shout out to the ON Nation radio podcast. They had 5 of them, and there's a last night's game, but counting last night's game, there were 55 games left in the schedule, and they drafted every single game. So each person had 11, and it's not an assist because Lucic did get a point in this game on the Cassian goal, but it's primary point only goals, and it's whoever finishes the season with the most Lucic goals wins out of the 11. So you have 11 games. They have 11 games, and if Lucic scores, they get 1 point.
Well, I mean, as soon as anybody gets one Lucic goal, they win.
Basically,
yeah.
And it was funny because they went on this whole thing and talked about it, and then he rang it off the bar. And his face going, because it hit the bar, kind of came back towards him in the corner, and as he went to go get it, there's like a close-up video from like outside the boards of him skating towards the boards, and his face, like, you just see, like, he's like in his head just going like just tearing the place up.
Man, I feel so bad for the guy. He's really embraced his new role on like the identity line.
The identity line. Right? Talk about grit chart.
No kidding. Grit per 60 is way off the charts.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, he's been out there. He's been battling hard. He's been making better passes. You know, there's still a couple terrible Lucic passes per game, but
yeah,
getting
of course.
Better. Yeah, you know, it wouldn't be an Oilers game if there wasn't a terrible Lucic pass that made you question why you even watch hockey. Where was I going with that?
I'm not sure.
Oh, anyways, the Oilers are 6-2-1 in the Hitchcock era.
Hell yeah. And we're 1 point out of a wild card spot and 2 points back of third place in the division.
What did I tell you guys?
That Hitchcock was going to quit.
He's going to get him in the playoffs, man.
But I want Shirelli gone.
But also I want to see playoff hockey.
Yeah.
Maybe he just gets fired anyways.
Ooh, before the trade deadline, preferably.
Okay.
So that is all the games for someone dropped something.
That was me. Whoops.
What did you drop, buddy?
It's okay. So I know Halloween was like more than a month ago, but like,
are you
it was
stuffing
like
your face with little candy bars?
No, but that does sound like me. It was a like a hand little ornament from a Halloween like cupcake that like adorns the top of it.
Oh, okay.
And so I've just been kind of like playing with it the entire podcast. Just a little hand.
A little hand.
Yeah.
Interesting. So that ends the games for last week. So we got some stuff going on around the NHL. A lot of little stuff. The LA Kings claim Nikita Sherbeck and Brendan Leipzig off waivers. Sherbeck from the Canadiens and Leipzig from the Canucks. It looks like they are throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah, not a bad strategy.
If you're claiming players off of the Canucks, you're fucking hurting.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of the Canucks, they claim Josh Levo off of waivers. And I thought that was actually a pretty good pickup of them, since I actually kind of keep a close eye, because some of the YouTube channels like Steve Dangle and stuff like that I follow, he's a big Leafs guy. So I kind of have a keep up with the Kings. Levo seemed – he high NHL score. And he scored in his first game with Canucks. Then there was a trade. Daniel Sprong traded from the Pittsburgh Penguins to the Anaheim Ducks in exchange for Marcus Pedersen, the defenseman. And Sprong immediately scores a absolute snipe.
Yeah. But, oh, my God, the Penguins lost that trade so bad.
Yes, I agree.
I can't believe Sprong's value is that low.
Why did they do it?
I mean, I can see they're, like – they're really getting into their "we need to win now" moment, and they can't. They're sick of waiting for Sprong, I guess. But I can't believe that, like, Sprong is 21, I want to say, maybe 20.
I think 21. Let's see. Was in the McDavid draft, 2015, right?
Yeah, 21.
Yeah.
He's just a guy that I always thought was going to be better than he was, right?
Yeah,
like, you always expect to see him. He's going to be on Crosby's wing next year. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be that high scoring guy that you tried to draft next year. Yeah,
exactly. And it's funny because, I don't know, I feel like that McDavid, that 2015 draft was just so loaded.
Yeah, and he was drafted 46th overall too. So it wasn't like he was a super high draft pick.
No, second round.
Yeah, but even still, like, he's had that kind of pedigree around him the entire time.
Exactly.
Where he's gonna be, like, the next good Pittsburgh prospect.
Really, he scored well in juniors and that sort of thing. Yeah, I agree.
Did you know he's Dutch?
He is Dutch.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's interesting.
Then the Philadelphia Flyers, we talked last podcast, guys, that they had fired their GM, Ron Hextall, and they have they announced this week that they had hired Chuck Fletcher. I know nothing about the guy. Chris, do you know anything about Chuck Fletcher?
Wasn't he the GM for the Flames for a long time?
Well, now I hate him.
That was Fletcher. Never mind. I don't know who Chuck Fletcher is.
To the handy-gandy Google.
Yeah, that's already him. Apparently, he was the general manager for the Minnesota Wild from 2009 to 2018.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh, so, okay, he was the guy that was fired,
Yeah, April 23rd.
End of this. Yep, okay.
Yeah. Right at the very end there.
Huh. Oh, that's an interesting signing. So Chris, Dalton said that Chuck Fletcher was the Minnesota Wild GM from 2008, you said, Dalton?
May 21st, 2009 to April 23rd, 2018.
Huh.
Apparently, he was also the assistant general manager at Pittsburgh for 3 years, from 05 to 09.
So looking at where Minnesota is right now, how do we feel about that hiring for the Flyers?
Well,
that's a good hiring.
I don't know about that if you look at the Suter and Parise signings, but
yeah, Chris, you seem to agree with it, though.
Competitive. Wild have always been competitive.
That's true. They've never really been a bad team, right?
They've just been a boring team.
Yeah, they've never really been, like, you start with the cup contenders at the start of the year, you're never going to pick the Wild.
Right? Yeah, no, like, when you're picking playoffs, right, and you're looking at it, you get down to like the last couple, you're like, Minnesota will probably make it. They'll lose in the first round in 5 games, and we'll move on.
Yeah, the Central's a strong division, and, you know, they'll make it in there or something like that. Lose to the Avalanche, it's all good.
Yeah, I apologize to, you know, all our diehard Minnesota fans we have listening.
All one of you, probably.
Yes, all one of you.
I don't know about that kind of signing. He seems like a Chiarelli type to me.
Oof.
As in, bad contracts, but still managed to get jobs anyways.
Oh, okay, fair enough. All right, guys, I'm going to say something that is going to shock you.
Uh-oh.
That you've never heard before on this podcast.
Should I be sitting down for this?
Tom Wilson did a scumbag thing.
No.
Yeah, I know. We've never talked about him at all. He's a saint. He clips Brett Cini of the New Jersey Devils. I don't know. And then it was announced the next day that he was not going to have a hearing. I don't know. Have you guys seen the video of the hit?
Yeah. He kind of caught him from like his back shoulder, right?
That's, yeah, and so that's why they said there's not a hearing, because he caught the shoulder first.
Yeah, but also it's Tom Wilson, so he should have been suspended for like 10 games.
And they would have appealed and only for 5.
Yeah, so, but then he wouldn't have gotten injured, though.
Tell me something, guys. When you do that in the game of hockey, what is your intent?
It's almost always like...
That's all. I don't know. That kind of hits always an aggressive retaliation. Not maybe not retaliation, but you're doing it to stir shit.
Yeah,
you're doing it to hurt somebody.
Yeah,
or that. But
because you're blindsiding somebody, there's no way you needed to take that track.
Yeah.
Sure, he didn't go well out of his way to hit the guy, but he could have easily avoided him. Makes me mad.
This kind of reminds me of what was the play? Was it Malkin? A couple of weeks ago, maybe, where a guy ran into this guy's elbow, basically, and went down pretty hard. Oshie ran into
him. Oh, yeah, Oshie. Yeah, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago.
It almost kind of reminds me of that play a little bit, except for I'm going to say that Wilson's was so much worse.
Yeah, and Malkin got fined for his, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. So I guess really what only matters in the NHL is if you hit the guy in the head or not.
Yeah.
Because apparently that's like the only reason people get suspensions right now.
It's kind of baffling.
Mark Giordano, you know, not included.
Well, that's a whole different thing. So using that as a good segue, two suspensions this week. We'll talk about the first one. Matt Calvert of the Colorado Avalanche skates by the Detroit bench. Dylan Larkin grabs onto his stick as he's trying to pull it back. Tyler Bertuzzi, son of, I believe, Todd Bertuzzi. Oh, Jesus. had a stroke there.
A little bit of a mouthful.
Yeah. Then proceeded to punch him in the head and was suspended for 2 games. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Chris.
Well, you can't touch anybody when you're on the bench, on the ice. You can't do it. So
right, and so I saw on social media some of the defenses were like, oh, he speared him. He pushed him. He came up to the bench.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. I honestly, I'm more of the opinion that both, I think Larkin probably should just be suspended as well. Like, I don't understand. Like, Bertuzzi was like a cheap shit and it was a cheap shot and it shouldn't be in the game. But, I mean, Larkin kind of started the entire thing though.
Okay, so here's what I would have done with it. I would have, suspension for, oh wait, so first off, let's start with this. Was 2 games enough?
Yeah.
I might have gone for more, just as a more of a deterrent kind of thing. But
so
2 games, it's hard to give
how much
anything more. Maybe 3 or 4. But it's hard to give anything more for a play that didn't result in an injury, right?
Oh, yeah, I agree. So I would have stuck with the 2 games, maybe given him 3. But then I also would have given Larkin a penalty on the ice.
Hmm. Yeah, I think Larkin probably should have got a game. Well, I mean, if he interfered with the play, he caused the entire thing. He is probably the most to blame, I would say. In the aspect of like the actual situation happening, right? I mean, obviously Bertuzzi's to blame because he actually ended up throwing the punch, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Larkin is the guy who started it all, who pulled the guy into the bench, right, by holding onto his stick. So,
yeah.
Maybe a game, maybe just a penalty on the ice. I'm kind of wishy-washy on that one.
Chris, would you have suspended Larkin?
No, I would have given him a fine.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. Fine would have been probably appropriate too.
All right. So then the last suspension of the week, Mark Giordano kneeing Mikko Koivu, suspended 2 games as well, I believe. Yeah, 2 games.
So he's going to miss the Oilers game now.
Yeah. Thank you, Pizza Man, for that.
Yeah. And it was a dirty play, too, but I'm glad he got 2 games.
I have not seen it yet. Chris, have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
All right. I'll summarize it for you, boys.
I am watching it currently.
All right. So basically, Koivu's coming down the wall. He has Giordano beat. He's, like, chipped it in already at this point. Has Giordano beat. Giordano is going to miss him, so he sticks out his leg instead and goes knee-on-knee with Mikko Koivu.
Oh, I saw that just as you said that.
Yeah, it was dirty as hell. Koivu gets up, he's pissed, and now he obviously missed the game versus the Oilers, so he's out.
What was he hurt with?
I didn't see what he was actually hurt with, but I'm guessing it must have been something to do with the knee there, because that was bad.
Okay, here's another angle. Oh, yeah, he goes to stick check and misses. Oh, your knee doesn't bend like that.
No, Koivu, I don't know how long he's going to be out there for, but, like, I'm almost of the opinion that should have been more for Giordano, because that is a, like, that's a chicken shit play. I hate
Yeah, he comes in, he misses the poke check, right? He comes in to try and stuff him at the blue line, completely misses the poke check, because Koivu makes a nice move. Then he puts his arm out like he's going to try and hold him, but then on the same time, he drives his knee into Koivu's knee, and just, oh, wow.
Yeah. It was called a two-minute trip on the ice, but it was a dirty play.
Oh, it's, no, for sure. For sure. That is an intense, like, intent to injure slew foot almost.
Yeah.
So, as a defenseman, I'm going to say, you know, I don't like Giordano, obviously. I don't like Koivu either. I think both rotten hell as far as I'm concerned. But as a defenseman, I know sometimes I've done that before without any ill intent. When you're going to get beaten wide quickly, your instinct is to stick a body part out to stop somebody. I'm not saying it's right, and I'm not saying he shouldn't have been suspended, but I'm just saying, was there intent to injure? I don't think so.
No,
I don't think Mark Giordano's a dirty player.
In my mind, I disagree completely. Giordano's been suspended for this kind of stuff before, for kneeing once before, I believe. Someone probably should fact check me on that, but I'm going to say it's fact anyways.
Yes, will it into existence, Sultan.
Yeah. Giordano is a great defenseman who shouldn't, like, and I hate the Flames, so, like, grain of salt for all this, but he's a great defenseman who shouldn't need to resort to this kind of stuff, right? And it's a little bit different, too, like, no disrespect to you, Chris, playing, like, talking about how you would play this thing than how Giordano should. Like, Giordano, he's had guys beat him wide so many times over his life. And I'm not saying he's a bad defenseman. I'm just saying he has so much more experience than you do. He should know, even if it is his instinct, that's not the play. So in my mind, that's absolutely intent.
But does he have more experience than me?
I think he's older than you, so let's go with yeah.
Well, thank you for saying that, but no, I'm definitely older than Mark Giordano.
I have no clue how old you are, so it's all good.
Yeah, to be honest, Chris, I have no idea how old you are either. You're kind of an enigma.
Yeah, like you could be anywhere from like 30 to 50, and I believe you.
Nice. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I agree.
You just got one of those faces that's just kind of hard to tell.
Anyway, I think we can agree to disagree here, but I do feel like I have a lot of hockey experience, and I do believe that instincts are instincts. And when you repeat a behavior over and over again, so like controlling gaps, pushing guys wide, playing defense, being a defensive-minded defenseman, and somebody goes to go around you, I've done pretty much the exact same thing where I've stuck my leg out and I've completely apologized afterwards. I felt terrible. So
I think where I disagree with you, Chris, because I do agree with the you're trying to block him off. I feel like because you're just – what you're saying is, like, you're trying to, like, stick something out, trying to stop, and you end up – watching the video, it more looks like instead of him just, like, just trying to stick a leg out, it more looks like it was a knee. Like, he drove his knee, and I think that's – I feel like that's where I differentiate, at least. It looks like he really drove his knee into him instead of just trying to slow him down.
And then also, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter if there was intent or not. That's textbook kneeing. You got to get suspended for that.
So, I think suspension's appropriate.
So, Chris, you agree with the two games?
I do.
And Dalton, you do not?
I mean, it's close to being right. I'm not going to be upset that he only got two games. I would have liked to see more. But, you know, it wasn't a headshot, so it's not an actual suspendable play, of course.
Right, right. I agree with the two games as well. I'm more happy the fact that he's not going to be playing against Edmonton.
Yeah, that's a nice little unintended consequence of that, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for real. Also, Michael Backlund will not be playing against Edmonton either.
Oh, well, did you see the Dumba hit
on Backlund?
Yeah.
No, I did not. It was this why he's not playing?
Yeah. Okay, so also in that same game.
This is the same game. Wow.
Yeah, this is a bloodthirsty game. With about a minute 30 left, Minnesota was down by two with the goalie pulled. Backlund had the puck in his own zone, kind of, and, like, ball blew a little bit. He's trying to ice the puck down the ice. And so he kind of ball blew it, reaches forwards, and then just gets lit.
Okay, I got it. Yeah. Oh, no!
Yeah. So the NHL reviewed this, and they determined that the primary point of contact was the chest, not the head. So, therefore, Dumba doesn't get suspended.
And Dumba also doesn't leave with his shoulder. He comes in with his arms first.
Yeah. They're like elbows tucked in, you know, feet.
Oh, no, that's textbook. That is textbook. And wow, Backlund gets, head down.
Yeah, but this leads to the puck end up going down the ice. Dumba goes to pick it up. Backlund changes. This guy, I can't remember his name, but this guy with the Flames called up not too long ago, comes onto the ice and then just chases down Dumba, drops the gloves, tries to fight him. Dumba doesn't even have a chance to do anything.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. His name is Lundberg? Lindberg.
Yeah, Lundberg, something like that. Yeah,
Lundberg.
Yeah, he ends up getting suspended a game as well, though.
Lundberg did?
Yeah, for an legal line change to start a fight.
He drops his and then just drops him and starts feeding it to the back of his head.
Yeah, just immediate. So, like, no chance for Dumba to defend himself. That's just – I'm glad he got a game for that.
Well, Dumba would have killed him if he did.
Oh, yeah, Dumba's an animal.
Dumba's in the same – I feel like when it comes to – maybe not as much, but same realm as Darnell Nurse.
He's actually around that. I actually went to school with Dumba.
With Matt Dumba.
Yeah, and his younger brother, Kyle. I think I said this on this podcast
before. I think you're right. Yeah. Pretty impressive. Yeah. Well, what happened to you?
What happened to Kyle is what you should be asking.
Ooh. Shots fired.
So what about, like, Dumba jumping?
Yeah, if you slow-mo it, his feet actually don't leave into the ice until after the contact occurred.
Oh, here's – okay, so in that same light, I just did my final speech for my speech class, and I did it on hockey hits.
Is your entire every class just hockey oriented for you?
Basically, like my math teacher's like, you can write this math paper on anything you want. I was like, can I write it on hockey? And then my speech teacher was like, this final, it's a free speech choice. You can do it on whatever you want. I was like, can I do it on hockey?
Can we trade majors?
No. so I was talking about it, and so I was telling them. So this ties back into the Dumba hit. I was like, you can't jump into a hit, but when you hit someone, you can leave the ice after the hit, as long as your feet are planted, because it's very hard to stay on the ice. So I don't feel like Dumba jumped into him.
Yeah. At full speed, this hit looks dirty. It looks bad. But once you slow it down, you look at it, you know, there's no interference. There's no leaving the feet. There's no charging. Like,
no high elbows.
No, his elbows tucked in. It's very hard to see a penalty for this. Also by Chris. Third time of the episode. Third shot.
That's not bad, though, considering.
Yeah, 45 minutes. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, it's been spaced out enough that our, you know, audience members that participate in this, you know, don't fall out of their chair.
Yeah, they're just going to get normal drunk today.
Yeah, yeah. Not, you know, the eight, they're falling out of their seat.
Yeah, yeah.
So then, while we're kind of on the topic of, you know, like hits and stuff like that, one of my favorite things that happened this week is Tom Wilson then got crushed by Ryan Reeves, and that was a hell of a rivalry right there.
Yeah. Apparently, Reeves was telling him the entire game that he was going to take him out of that game.
Really?
Yeah, just jawing at him over and over again.
Well, did you see Reeves' post-game interview?
Oh.
So if you guys have not, Chris, have you seen Reeves' post-game interview?
No.
Okay, so if you guys have not seen this, you have to go watch this. Reeves' post-game interview after the most recent Washington-Vegas game. So first off, a little context. Reeves and Wilson were kind of going at it all game. Mm-hmm. And this dates back to, like, the playoffs and even their time when Reeves was in St. Louis.
Yeah, way back.
They hate each other. Anyway, game has been going. Wilson has been throwing his weight around, hitting people, trying to hit Reeves as well. And eventually, Wilson kind of comes in and, like, almost misses the puck or misses a hit. And then on the follow-through, Reeves crushes him. Drops Wilson. Wilson is down and out.
Mm-hmm. His helmet goes flying.
Yeah, like, this was one of those one-in-shell where you hit the guy and, like, the computer can't really generate how hard you hit the dude. And his body just rattles. His helmet goes into the stands.
Yeah.
Like, it was rough. And then in Reeves's post-game interview, he's like what did he say? It's a
that's what happens when you run into a lion in the jungle.
Like, yeah, yeah, he goes that's what happens when you run into a lion in the jungle. And then he's like this is a man's game. Like, Reeves. And then so I believe the NHL reviewed it, and is Reeves hasn't gotten a suspension for this, has he?
Nope, no hearing or anything. Apparently, it's kind of a similar hit to the Dumba hit, almost.
Yeah.
Oh. Couldn't have it to a nicer fella.
Yeah. Wilson has been out for the last couple games because of that, because of a concussion as well.
Oh, really?
Apparently Reeves is a pretty good guy, too.
Hey, listen, I listened to the Reeves and Spittin' Chicklets. He is so much fun. Like, any team, like obviously, like, grit chart and all that stuff, and, like, he actually scores a few goals. But, like, he's just one of those guys that makes the locker room and just the team so much closer and so much, like, more fun.
So if you look at the hit, Wilson's looking to hit Reeves.
Yeah.
Reeves just stands him up.
Well, Reeves? Oh, there's two different hits in that game, yeah. There's one where Wilson tries to hit Reeves, and then Reeves stands him up. And then there's a second one where Reeves just kills Wilson. Wilson's not even looking.
Well, that's the one where he kills him. Like, he was helped off the ice. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Reeves just skating around, just skating up the ice. Wilson comes barreling at him, and he just basically just stands up tall and braces himself, and Reeves, like, or Wilson just, like, crumples.
Yeah, it's – I mean – I admire Wilson for having the spirit to go against Reeves, but I still feel like that is a whole nother weight class for Tom Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Like, guys on the Oilers that I think could take on Reeves would be Lucic, Cassian, Nurse, Larson, if you let him block a shot first.
Nurse? Come on.
No, Nurse? No. Nurse, good.
Nurse is a maniac.
Yeah. Nurse wouldn't win, but he would, like, it would look like a good fight.
That would be one of those old times, like, they don't even care that they're both getting punched in the face. It's just back and forth hammers.
Yeah. Lucic, I think, would probably have the best chance to win.
I don't know. I feel like Cassian does, because Cassian has the size of Lucic, but the absolute – Cassian is a psychopath, and I love him because he's our psychopath.
My does cat Wilson is crack also named after him.
Does Wilson crack his head on the ice on that hit?
Yeah. Yes, he does.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, that's where the cocky comes from.
Yeah. That's what most people don't think. Like, the concussion, they think the concussion is, like, from that hit. It's honestly from the whiplash and your head hitting the ice.
Yeah, his stomach falling off and then his head hitting the ice there, that's bad.
Yeah.
He went straight for him. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it was – everyone – it's one of those things, it's like, you see Brad Marchand get crushed. Everyone's like, yes! You see Tom Wilson get crushed. Everyone's kind of feels the same way.
I honestly hate Marchant more than I hate Wilson.
I agree. Me too.
I can't tell you why that is, but it just is.
Yeah. Then last point of news for the week. Seattle. The NHL granted Seattle a franchise starting in 2021-22.
Mm-hmm. The perfect time for the Oilers to still have to protect Lucic.
Mm-hmm, exactly. But also perfect time for they do not have to protect Evan Bouchard.
That is true. Which, finally, thank God they actually sent him down.
Yes, I agree. All right, so first off, name predictions, boys.
Ooh. Yo, I'm not gonna lie, I love the idea of the Seattle Kraken.
I agree. I love Krakens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's some other – the Totems actually wouldn't be terrible. I saw some, like, mock art for that, and they made some pretty good jerseys.
Yeah. The I think mascots, if they're either the Totems or the Krakens would be quite funny.
Yeah, that'd be great either way.
Just a huge octopus or just, like, a big pole? Chris, you got any predictions for names for Seattle? Anything you've seen you liked?
Well, nothing I've seen, but they should call them the Yeti.
Ooh. Yeti.
I haven't heard that one before. That's pretty
good. No, that's a good one.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. Do we have – and so then have you guys seen how the divisions are shifting a bit?
Yeah. Bye-bye, Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona is going to the Central, Chris.
Thanks. We'll take them.
Yeah.
I need a shitty team in the Central.
You're welcome. All right, next predictions. Who do you think the will be the best player on the Seattle team?
Milan Lucic.
Yes.
Got him. I don't know, man. That's a hard thing to tell. It's too far away.
I'm going to say James Neal.
Gets picked up again, eh?
I think so. He has not impressed the Flames. That'll be nearing the tail end of his deal.
I think at that point he only has a no trade, so they don't have to protect him.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And like I said, I think there'll only be 1 year left on his deal.
I mean, he's okay. That deal looks awful already, though. Even if it was like just for this year, he's just been garbage.
Yeah, he has. Thank God. But let's not jinx it, though.
Yeah, I'm kidding as well.
All right, boys. Is there any points of league news you guys want to talk about?
I just think they should have let Quebec have a team before they let Seattle have a team. But that's serious. I believe it's serious.
It's also Gary Bettman, though, so Quebec's never getting a team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else, boys?
Nope.
We gotta do the prediction still, though.
Yeah, yeah. No, I. Any news you want to talk about?
Oh, I see. I see.
Yeah, yeah. First, shout out to me. I won my first week last week.
Well, well done. Well done.
At a score of 3-2-2. Wow. We actually all fairly did pretty well. No one ran away with it. So all right. So now coming up this week, we will start with the earlier game of the two tomorrow. The Philadelphia Flyers show up in Winnipeg. Flyers are obviously struggling. We all know what's been going on with them. They actually just beat Buffalo today, 6-2, though. So they will be coming off a back-to-back.
Wow, that game was 2-2 at one point.
Yes, it was. Did you see Tage Thompson move?
No, dude, it was sweet.
On Provorov, no less. Oh, he didn't score, though. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Chris, Flyers in Winnipeg, how do you feel?
5-1 Jets.
5-1 Jets. All right. Dalton?
4-3 Flyers.
Oh.
Fuck you, Dalton.
I'm going to say 4-2 Jets.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome, buddy. I did it for you. Then later that night, the first Battle of Alberta in Edmonton, the second one of the season, commences. Oilers looked good and then not good in the first one. As we already said, Backlund and Giordano will not be playing in this game. Mikko Koskinen will be in net, and we do not know if it will be Smith or Riddick.
They're looking like it's going to be Smith right now.
It depends on, because the Flames are playing tonight, aren't they?
Yeah, I think Riddick was confirmed to get the start, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah, so Mike Smith in net. Dalton, we'll start with you.
6-2, Oilers victory. Oilers chase Smith. Actually, no, I'm going to take that back. It's back-to-back. Let's leave him in. So just a 6-2 victory.
Just a 6-2 victory. Yeah. Oilers, a little point of news. Oilers will be playing their best jersey, the retro jersey.
Mm-hmm. It's a sweet one, dude.
Oh, man, it's going to look so nice tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
I will go next. I'm going to say... So we had the offensive explosion last night. I'm going to say we're back to the Hitchcock-style hockey, and it's going to be a 3-2 Oilers win. Chris.
Close game.
Yep.
Oh, I hate the Flames so much. 4-1 Oilers.
4-1 Oilers. All right. Third game. So then Tuesday night, the Chicago Blackhawks show up for their second meeting against the Winnipeg Jets. I'll kick this one off. Chicago is in a bit of a free fall right now. So I'm going to say it's going to be a 3-1 Jets win. Chris.
I'm going to say it's going to be a 2-0 Jets win.
2-0.
You guys a shout out?
Who does?
Hellebuck.
Hell yeah. That's what I like to hear. All right, Dalton.
We're going to go for a solid 4-1 Jets victory there.
4-1 Jets victory. All right. And then later that night on Tuesday, the Oilers show up in Colorado. For their second game against Colorado this season. First game did not look good. Dalton, start.
The Oilers are not going to lose again. 3-1 victory.
Wow, we're feeling high this week, boys. Chris.
Colorado plays a really like up-tempo stretch game, and I think that if they score first, they could run away with it. I think that it's going to be 4-2 for the Avalanche.
How could you?
Sorry.
I'm going to say first game, what was the final score? 5-2? 6-2?
I don't know, something like that.
We got smoked. I am in full buy-in Hitchcock mode. So I'm going to say it's going to be a 2-1 Oilers win.
Easy.
All right. Then, there's actually – so the Oilers and the Jets have the exact same schedule this week. They both have games on Sundays, games on Tuesdays, games on Thursdays. Because on Thursday, the Winnipeg Jets and the Edmonton Oilers meet for the second time this season. And, Chris, I don't think we have to remind you what happened in that game.
Well, you guys got lucky.
Yeah, I'm All right, Chris. So this is where the podcast becomes very divided, folks. Chris, what do you think is going to happen in this game?
Well, that's tough. I think the Jets are going to win 4-2.
Okay, so now I actually have to differentiate between who's winning this game. Jets win. Okay. Dalton.
4-3 Oilers victory. McDavid 4.9.
Wow. Okay. 4 point. Book it. All right. I like the Jets until they play the Oilers. So now, fuck the Jets. it oh, is. It. I'm sorry, buddy. I'm sorry, buddy. I don't mean it.
I didn't say that about the Oilers.
I'm going to say this is going to be a 5-3 Oilers win.
Okay, I'm adding a hot take to this.
Oh, okay, right. I'm ready. All right.
Dustin Byfuglien's going to light up Connor McDavid.
Is he even going to be back by then?
It's going to light him the Byfuglien's already back, bro.
Oh, is he already back?
Yep. Oh, he's back last night.
Morrissey comes back tomorrow night.
He is going to stop McDavid dead in his fucking tracks.
I hope you're wrong.
Me too. Me too, but it is a hot take.
All right. Hey, we got it. It's in the universe now. I will go. So then back to back. So after playing each other on Thursday, the Jets head out and play Chicago in Chicago for the second time this week. I'll lead this one off. I'm going to say this is going to be a 4-1 Jets win. Dalton.
It's going to be a 2-1 Jets win.
And Chris.
Oh, boy. It's hard to pick the Jets to win every time, but you always feel like your team is going to win every game.
Especially when you're playing the Blackhawks twice in a week. What's with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I got to say 5-1 Jets.
5-1 win. Okay. Then last game of the week, the Oilers coming off of the game against the Jets go back home and play Philadelphia. Dalton, we will start with you to round out the week.
Oilers never lose. 3-0 victory.
Ooh, 3-0 win. Who gets a shutout?
Talbot.
Talbs with the shutout. All right, Chris.
I'm going to say 4-0 Oilers.
4-0 Oilers.
Got to do one more than me, eh?
Who gets the shutout?
Yeah. Koskinen.
Cost the shutout.
Hey, Chris.
Yo.
Fuck the Jets.
Wow. I'm driving to Edmonton right now. I'll be there in 39 hours.
Trick question. I'm in Calgary. Ooh.
I'm just down the airport.
My prediction, playing the Flyers. Oh, I don't know. The Oilers. They either win or they lose when they play the Flyers.
Yeah, it's one of the two, eh?
Yeah, right? It's kind of weird how that works out. Geez. I picked the Jets to win every game except when the Jets play the Oilers. Okay. Since you both picked wins, I'm going to say a 2-1 shootout loss.
The gamemanship.
Yeah. I still get credit for the loss if they lose. But in my mind, it's not as bad.
We're going to need to rework this scoring system one day.
No, it's perfect.
Oh, forced disconnect.
Hey, it's perfect. It's right at the end. It makes everyone feel nice and warm as they wrap up the podcast. Mm-hmm. I hope Crix actually comes back because I was meaning to tell him I will be in town for the next little bit.
Oh,
yeah.
My town?
No. You're more than welcome to come down to my town.
You know, I'll think about it.
Yeah, you know.
Just blow off all my finals. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you got anything else to add there, buddy?
The Oilers aren't ever gonna lose again. Did I mention that?
No, I don't think you did.
All right, so Oilers aren't ever gonna lose again, and I think that's about it.
So they're going 55-0.
Well, you forgot the playoffs.
Oh wow. Yeah. So that's what is that? 3 rounds of 4 games because they're gonna sweep every game.
Mm-hmm. 16 so games right there.
3 times 4 is 12.
No, it's 4 rounds.
4 rounds because of playoffs of 16. So they're going to go 55 plus 16. Well, actually, they're 54, so that makes the math a little easier. 70-0. Oilers win the cup.
And this has been our math tutorial. Thanks for joining, everyone.
Yeah. I think Crix is going to be glad when he hears the end of it that he dropped out at the end.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, He's gonna drop out. He's gonna listen to the end. We're gonna get a message. He's like, "What the hell? I leave for 5 minutes, and you immediately."
Yeah. Well, I mean, what is he expecting?
Fair enough. Right. Anyway, everyone, this has been episode 9. We are so close to episode 10, and thank you all for the support and all that stuff. We look forward to making another 3 cents.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if you take that up to Canada, it rounds up to 5 cents.
So. Wow, we almost. Wow, you're right. Wow. We're like almost $1.
Also, is that 3 cents American?
Yes.
Yo, that's like $100,000 Canadian.
What?
Yeah.
How?
Well, the exchange rate, dude.
Oh, right. Yeah. And there is your second part of your math tutorial. I hope everyone's taking notes. There will be a final. So this has been episode 9 of South of the Blue Line. You can follow us on Twitter at Blue Line South. You can follow us on Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube. Just look up South of the Blue Line podcast. Anywhere you listen to your podcast, Apple Podcasts, everywhere. Seriously, everywhere. We are trying to get this out to as many people so you all can be annoyed with us as everyone that currently listens is. So I'm Michael. Dalton is up in Edmonton. We have Crix is gone, but he's around. We love him. This has been South of the Blue Line, and we will see you all next week.
See you later, guys.